I don't know what would have happened if he'd lived. And that's the God's honest truth. Huddy came to my rescue. Your dad was bullshit about the car, Ned. I mean, bug-eyed bullshit. He was out there every spare minute, walking around it, taking pictures of it, touching it. That was what he mostly did, just touching and touching, like to make sure it was real. Sarge'd the same way, Archie put in. Not exactly, I thought, but didn't say. It had been different for Kurt. In the end, the Buick had been his in a way it had never been Tony's, and Tony had known it. But what about Trooper Rafferty, Sandy? Do you think the Buick...
Ate him, Huddy said. He spoke with dead flat certainty. That's what I thought then. It's what I think now. It's what your dad thought, too.
Did he? Ned asked me.
Well, yes. Ate him or took him away to someplace else. Again, the image of stupid work came to me. Rows of beds to be made. Stacks of dishes to be washed. Acres of hay to be scythed and carried.
But you're telling me, Ned said, that no scientist has ever been allowed to study that thing since Trooper Rafferty and my father found it? Ever? No physicists? No chemists? No one's ever run a spectrographic analysis?
Beebe was back at least once, I think, Phil said, sounding just the tiniest bit defensive. By himself, though, without those kids he used to travel around with. He and Tony and your father wheeled some big machine in there. Maybe it was a spectrograph, but I don't know what it showed. Do you, Sandy?
I shook my head. There was no one left to answer that question, or a lot of others. Beebe Roth died of cancer in 1998. Curtis Wilcox, who often walked around the Buick with a spiral notebook in his hands writing things down, and sometimes sketching, was also dead. Tony Shane Dinks, alias the old Sarge, was still alive, but now in his late 70s, lost in that confused twilight purgatory reserved for people with Alzheimer's disease. I remembered going to see him, along with Archie Arcanian, at the nursing home where he now lives. Just before Christmas, this was. Archie and I brought him a gold St. Christopher's medal, which a bunch of us older fellas had chipped in to buy. It had seemed to me that the old Sarge was having one of his good days. He opened the package without much trouble and seemed delighted by the medallion. Even undid the clasp himself, although Archie had to help him do it up again after he'd slipped it on. When that was finally accomplished, Tony had looked at me closely with his brows knit together, his bleary eyes projecting a parody of his old piercing glare. It was a moment when he really seemed himself. Then his eyes filled with tears, and the illusion was gone.
"Who are you, boys?" he asked. "I can almost remember."
Then, as matter-of-factly as anyone reporting the weather,
"I'm in hell, you know. This is hell."
"Ned, listen," I said. What that meeting in the country way really boiled down to was just one thing. The cops in California have it written on the sides of some of their cruisers, maybe because their memory is a little bit faulty and they have to write it down. We don't. You know what I'm talking about?
To serve and protect, Ned said.
You got it. Tony thought that thing had come into our hands almost as a result of God's will. He didn't say it that flat out, but we understood. And your father felt the same way. I was telling Ned Wilcox what I thought he needed to hear. What I didn't tell him about was the light in Tony's eyes and in the eyes of Ned's father. Tony could sermonize about our commitment to serve and protect. He could tell us about how the men of Troop D were the ones best equipped to take care of such a dangerous res. He could even allow us how later on we might turn the thing over to a carefully chosen team of scientists, perhaps one led by Beebe Roth. He could spin all those tales, and did. None of it meant jack shit. Tony and Kurt wanted the Buick because they just couldn't bear to let it go. That was the cake, and all the rest of it was just icing. The Roadmaster was strange and exotic, unique,
and it was theirs. They couldn't bear to surrender it.